Hello and welcome to the Mothball Prophecies. I am your host, Jonathan. This is going to be a more casual format, which I'll be doing every other week in order to devote more time to researching the more in-depth topics I cover on this show. So next week, I'll be back to tell you more about the mysterious case of Dr. Mary Sherman, the particle accelerator Lee Harvey Oswald, and how New Orleans was the epicenter for conspiracies that extended well past the second half of the 20th century. I also want to thank everyone who has submitted entries for our first annual Mothballoween contest. For those of you who are still on the fence about things, let me give you a breakdown of how this is going to work. You send an email to mothball@crescentcitymedia.com with an original work. Now, this could be a true story, a work of fiction, a strange experience, or anything that fits the October season, and I'll broadcast it on Halloween. I've received a few questions about this, which I will attempt to address right now. Does it have to be a written story? No. No, it doesn't. I mean, this is an audio medium, so think about that. Comics probably won't translate all that well. But I have received entries that other people have recorded themselves, so if you want to send in a music track or a recording of yourself telling an original story, go for it. The only catch is you need to own the rights to your work, because I'm kind of not big on getting sued by Clive Barker or anyone else for using things that have been lifted without permission. Will you get credit for your work? Yes. If you want me to mention you by name, tell me. I'll introduce your work and put your name in the show notes. Heck, give me a short intro and links where people can find your other stuff if you want to. I'll put it up there. Is there a time limit? Not really. But please remember that there are other people participating in this. My goal is to make this the equivalent of the Yule log, but for Halloween, and give people a platform to showcase their work. If I need to make this a 13-hour show, so be it. Everyone will get heard who submits an entry. Do you retain the rights to your work? Yes. Participants retain the rights to their own stuff. Absolutely. I'm not going to be lifting your original pieces to use in advertising or anything like that. Your entries are for this upcoming Halloween special only. I might reach out to you later for an interview for the Mothball Prophecies or one of the other shows I'm thinking about putting together, but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. If I missed anything, or if you have other questions, just send me an email or post them on the Facebook page, and I will get to them ASAP. So, let's start the casual show. Now, get casual! Are you relaxed? Our first story is about UFOs. Yay! Or rather, it's about how Japan is handling UFOs. This story comes from an article in The Diplomat by Thisanka Sirapala. Among UFO aficionados in Japan, summer is seen as the season for flying saucers. In mid-June, Japan's well-known UFO hotspots didn't disappoint after a mysterious, unidentifiable white balloon with a connected cross-propeller-shaped object was spotted in the skies in the northeastern city of Sendai and Fukushima Prefecture. The mysterious aerial object was observed at 7 a.m., and some witnesses say it resembled a hot air balloon. This was news to me because I didn't know there were UFO sighting seasons. Now I'm looking forward to next summer, and I'm saying that as a New Orleans resident. Apparently, Japan's Self-Defense Force, or SDF, is developing policies on how to handle UFO encounters. This is big news because up until 2018, Japan's policy was to flat out deny the existence of UFOs. Going one step further, In a security meeting between Japan and the United States, Secretary of Defense Mark Esper floated the idea of a Japan-U.S. security alliance, which would include working together on UFOs. This is very interesting. We saw footage that our own Navy fleet, that our own Navy released, rather, of pilots chasing UFOs. We have a U.S. task force now focusing on UFOs, and now a possible alliance with Japan to work on UFOs as they pertain to national and international security. UFOs exist. We really are at the point where we can't deny that right now. We can't say that they are manufactured from somewhere other than Earth, as Stanton Friedman used to say quite frequently, but there are certainly objects that do not conform to known aircraft or activities as recognized by trained pilots. We also have to remember that technology is certainly more accessible to people now, and private individuals can create things in their own homes that are a tad more sophisticated than simply throwing a hubcap in the air and snapping a photo. So the actions of our government, as well as Japan's, seemingly run counter to the idea that disclosure, however we're going to define it, is on the horizon. Yes, it's a big step for world governments to admit UFOs exist after denying such things since Project Blue Book closed. But it's a big leap to get from UFOs are things and we should look into them to, yeah, we've been keeping extraterrestrials in an underground base as part of some agreement Eisenhower made to trade technology for unsuspecting abductees. There is a chasm between those two points, which kind of leads right into our next story. Anyone who's discussed UFOs and paranormal subjects with me at length knows that I love documentaries on strange phenomena. Some of you even know that I have a curated playlist of those documentaries, specifically the ones from the 1970s and early 80s, because the theremin and analog synth music were both spectacular in those, and because, to me, that was the absolute height of the weird and unexplained coming to the forefront of our society. Once again, because of those documentaries, and by extension, Alan Landsberg, we have to give thanks, specifically to Alan Landsberg and his work in the 70s, that laid the blueprint to every show on the History Channel that has very little to do with history itself. Oak Island, The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch, the bad shows from the early 2000s that dealt with Revelations and Nostradamus, all of those owe Alan Landsberg and the paranormal documentaries of the 1970s a mountain of gratitude for their very existence. But I'm getting off track. There's a new UFO documentary called The Phenomenon, which should be available on, quote, all digital platforms on October 6th. The film will feature former White House Chief of Staff John Podesta, former Secretary of Defense Intelligence Christopher Mellon, former Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, who, in the realm of UFOs, is probably best known for his work with Bob Bigelow of NIDS and Skinwalker Ranch fame, and a few other people. Additionally, Jacques Vallée is involved. The Phenomenon aims to cover 70 years' worth of UFO history, leading to an interesting statement from Jacques Vallée in which he said, 70 years of secrecy has led to this, the most credible documentary ever made. I'd love to know how long this documentary is. Yes, I will be watching it. I may even give you guys a report and review. But this is Jacques Vallée talking. He was actually in one of the earliest documentaries from the 70s that I mentioned earlier. It was called UFOs, It Has Begun, and was hosted by Rod Serling, and I believe produced by Alan Landsberg. It also featured an interesting quote, hypothetical scenario in which extraterrestrials landed at Holloman Air Force Base. That hypothetical scenario supposedly contained actual footage, but was cut at the last second under a direct order from Richard Nixon. That may be a topic for one of our in-depth episodes, because the story is very interesting. Vallée also covered the phenomenon of cattle mutilation in that 70s documentary, which kind of brings us to our last story, which I will tell you about after these messages.
Dr. Pinkerton of the Consortium of Genius here, ensconced within my secret lab. At long last, the time has come to reveal my master plan. While you have all been preoccupied with that insipid but popular virus making the rounds, I have been readying my laboratory for a bold new test. The evaluation and elimination of my sonic competition for world takeover! Yes, ladies and gentlemen, every week, I shall be capturing a different band here in the secret lab and subjecting them to hideous, hard-rocking experimentation live! Friday night at 8 p.m., be here to see what fate befalls the unwary and find out if they can escape from the secret lab!
That's Escape from the Secret Lab, every Friday night at 8 p.m. Central. Go to escapefromthesecretlab.com to find out which bands are playing, and remember, you, the audience, get a chance to win prizes as you decide the fate of the performers. For our last story, we're going to France. This one comes from Reuters. Investigators have opened more than 150 probes into a rash of horse killings and mutilations across France. The bodies of horses have been found with ears and eyes removed, as well as mutilated genitalia. The police have entertained such theories as satanic rites, weird trophy hunting, and even an internet challenge, but have since turned up with no results. They arrested a 50-year-old unemployed man in connection with the horse mutilations, but released him without charge. This is an odd story, because they can't really connect it to anything. I mean, even the one person they thought who was connected, they had to let go. You know, in the U.S., here, we're used to stories about cattle mutilations. Linda Moulton Howe's documentary, Strange Harvest, was all about them. Trevor James Constable theorized that the, quote, invisible beings he would record on ultraviolet film might be the cause of cattle mutilations. But horses? How often do you hear about horse mutilations? Well, unexplained horse mutilations are also nothing new, even in the U.S., in the Uinta Basin in the United States, they've seen their fair share of horse mutilations over the course of the 20th century, and no one can explain those either. And the theories, minus the internet challenge thing, also included satanic rituals and trophy hunting, but at least we included UFOs in our speculation, which, of course, the French police could also do, but I somehow doubt it would bring them any closer to solving the mystery. So, I mean, what are your thoughts? Let me know your theories on cattle mutilation, horse mutilation, things that are happening in droves. I mean, I've heard aliens, I've heard invisible predators, I've heard the satanic thing, though I haven't really seen evidence of the satanic thing. I've heard the government is doing animal mutilations, especially when they are downwind of nuclear experiments, such as the ones around Dulce, which is near where we tested nuclear weapons, and that theory goes that the government would come in and mutilate cattle, not mutilate intentionally, like, yeah, let's go out and mutilate some cattle, but would secretly abduct cattle to test radiation and to see if there were any abnormalities in the tissue samples they took from those animals, which just happened to be the eyes and the more sensitive parts, which would be, of course, more susceptible to radiation. So I have no idea what's causing mutilations. I have no idea what has caused mutilations. Linda Moulton Howe definitely knows, and you can't see me shaking my head while I say that. But if you have any theories, send me an email. Again, mothball@crescentcitymedia.com, subject line horse mutilations. Or join our Facebook group and get the discussion going. Because everyone loves talking about mutilated animals, right? Well, I mean, that just about does it for this episode. Next week, I'll be back for part two of the story of Dr. Mary Sherman, and I will reveal the secret location of the particle accelerator and tell you about how a secret cancer study led to something much more insidious than a simple assassination of world leaders. Until next time, sleep tight.